Well, good morning. It's day one of the Magic Live convention, and so I woke up kind of early. My mistake, my bad. Didn't set my clock back. So I'm still on Central Time, thinking I was waking up reasonably early, and obviously I was could have slept for a couple more freaking hours. So anyhow, I'm having a little breakfast, and I want to go around just so everybody, since that way you recognize their voices, they introduce themselves then as well.
Hi, Steve Bryant.
This is Mel Kent and Alan Kronczek.
So this way you recognize the voices. We kind of start to talk a little bit about last night also, that was kind of cool, which they do every year, I guess. They kind of bring up the cover people, and then they kind of take their pictures. And being 20 years, I mean, golly, I thought the stage was going to collapse with all the people over there. And I got to say that the ice cream was a nice touch. Both sundaes I had were delicious.
Both?
Yeah.
Both enjoyed it, yes.
Well, I had strawberry first time, and it wasn't so good, so I went back for the vanilla then and put some stuff on. But anyhow.
Did you try the hot fudge?
First time. It didn't taste so good on the strawberry, but I recommend the hot fudge on the vanilla. That's pretty good. And then the nuts and Skittles and all the rest of the stuff, of course. But I digress. So we're talking about then the convention. Now, I said so far, but what do you think about the dealer's room?
Oh, it was awesome. A lot of new dealers to me, guys I'd never seen before, so I have to go back and check.
Who was it, for an example, that you hadn't?
Oh, lots of them. I don't even know.
Can't remember the names because they were so...
Some were foreign, so I don't know.
Did you buy anything?
I bought the Dennis Beer book from H&R.
The Dennis Beer book, which was titled...
Volume 2.
Okay.
My purchase with the Lance Pierce new notes.
Oh, wow. H&R had that also then?
Yeah, H&R had them, and I hear they're really great.
Well, yeah, it's Lance Pierce.
And the only booth I lingered at for a while, because I was on Eastern Time and had to go to bed, was Garrett Thomas's. Mm-hmm. And Garrett's just doing spectacular work, always.
More and more, all the time, yes. Yeah. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't buy a darn thing because I couldn't get close enough to give him my money. It was about five deep at every...
It was like a sideshow going through a carnival, you know, just kind of squeezing through every aisle, you know.
Well, they did the same thing they did last convention, where every $20 you purchase gives you a voucher for prizes. So they had 20 great prizes.
And they were. And a lot of times, you know, when dealers are donating something, it's kind of some stuff that maybe doesn't sell as well or something. But these were some premium prizes.
By that time, what were the prizes?
One thing was that the guy that's a photographer that, does all...
Linsel?
Not Linsel. There's another guy who's got a studio, Beckett Studios. Yeah, he was donating like a prize package, you know, promo photos. Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Golly, you know, and then there was a Mac King package, which was kind of cool, which included an autographed cloak of invisibility. It was kind of neat. And then also I forgot, Cosmo was kind of walking around doing close-up street magic, you know, in the room where they were serving the sundaes and everything.
Huge table, street magic with a really big table. Yeah.
That was a big old table.
Well, it was.
And did you take some pictures?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the...
Trying to remember what you did
prizes.
Last night by
right.
Photographs. This is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Did you take those with the tablet or the iPad?
No.
Oh.
This is the old iPad.
I was going to say, those are awfully clear pictures that you're taking there as well. Awesome. But it was overall just a good kickoff. Now, I wanted to talk about just kind of previous conventions. I mean, how many have you been to?
This is my third.
Your third?
Yeah,
my third also.
Steve?
I've been to all of them.
All of them?
Right.
And have you found, we'll talk to you because I'm kind of like the other guys, I've only been to three, this is my third one as well, them to be, have a lot of continuity or uneven, or do you think they're changing each year a little bit? I mean, Stan says he's always trying to find a little bit of a tweak and reinvent. Do you see that happening?
Well, it's too new to tell so far this year because
we've mainly
just seen the dealer's room, but it was really nice to see all the guys that are still alive from the last 20 years come up on stage, especially guys like Cesaro Pérez, who
has trouble getting around. That's right. I didn't know he was going to be here, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was good. So
I hadn't seen Daniel Cross since I can't remember when.
And he looked great.
He did, yeah.
So, that was fun to see all these guys show up. It was hard to get the photos, but I think we got some.
Well, the dealer's room was laid out different, though. Not in rows like it usually is.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but that's right. And even the bar they had set up was kind of like over in a little nook or something.
I didn't see a lot of people in that bar.
Unfortunately,
more tables or something in there.
The guy I missed who had that little nook last time was Todd Carr, who had a salon. It was really nice. So it's a shame not to see him this year.
I didn't see Todd
as a dealer, anyway. I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's had some. I think I've got all of his books. Yeah, he's got high quality stuff.
Very nice stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. The way Stan does arranges for you to get the lecture notes all set afterwards, all the lectures. You don't have to take notes on all this stuff. You get copies of this.
They put it in the binder.
The binder, the folder. That's all a really nice touch.
Speaking of which, talk about what the freebie stuff was. I say freebie, you know, part that comes with the registration.
The freebie we paid for.
You mean the stuff we got when we walked in?
Yeah, we walked in.
Some very classy folio binders with a notepad and a fancy pen. And then a binder in which you can, you know, a three-hole binders
work.
And put your notes there. What else do you get?
I've got her name badge. You know, the picture.
I don't have my picture yet. They're so far behind.
That was the number one glitch so far.
That was a glitch.
People who thought they were getting in the fast lane didn't.
No, I had my picture taken at 3 o'clock and it wasn't ready till 7.
Somebody didn't get it at all.
Exactly. And I was talking with someone about that, and they said apparently they had a different photographer. They contracted with some local guy who is not a magician or someone they worked with before, and so they're going to go back to in-house, I guess, next year, what I heard. But
one of the things that I noticed just in walking around watching the people do stuff is that 3 conventions ago, which was, 6 years ago, I guess. Is there every other year? Every year?
Only recently has it been every other year. That was just because the 20th came up so quickly after the 18th. But it's normal.
They should have predicted that, 2 years ago.
Yeah, my first, it's just the style of card magic that the younger guys are doing is very different than it was when I was here my first time. All the flourishy stuff. It's amazing that so many kids are now doing that kind of stuff.
Although, Stan did.
Yeah. YouTube, yeah.
Everybody's doing the.
Yep.
Stan did see that coming, though. At one of the very early conventions at the close-up thing, he had Dave and Dan Buck doing their thing. And that was the first time I remember that.
Yes, when they did. They had the overhead camera and all that. And they were, that was pretty cool. I remember that time. And that's right, Mel. I mean, you write The Magician's Life. You publish on through email to everybody. And if they don't subscribe, they probably should. And how do they get on your newsletter, by the way?
They send me an email to m.kentz@bnproducts.com.
He is a boy and his neighbor.
Right.
Okay. Products. And then so you're updating stuff all the time just on news stories that are happening about magicians worldwide.
I actually write the stuff. I just format it and resend it so you don't miss something.
But you're seeing and hearing about a lot of stuff, that's happening and also. And then you made a good point about the YouTube, and that's right, that it seems like you're a lot more. When I think of finger flickers, Alan, when you and I are going to the 4F convention or something, that's why, it's finger flickers. But now finger flickers are more like, Dan and Dave, it seems like they're more fancy, kind of extreme.
We used to try to hide our finger flicking. What's his name? Richard Wiseman, the psychologist?
Yeah, I love that book, Paranormality, by the way.
I haven't read it yet. I hear it's great. But he did this research that was surprising that he talked about on the Essential Magic Conference, which was... there's always a debate in magic about whether you should do flourishes or not and show that you have skill rather than doing amazing miracles with cards where nothing you seem to have, do nothing, and yet amazing things happen. And he did a study on ambitious card, and one group saw just an ambitious card routine and they rated it. The second group, before they saw the exact same routine, saw a great demonstration of skill and flourishes. And then they saw the ambitious routine, and they rated it higher, having seen the flourishes.
Interesting.
They thought it was more skillful and more amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it surprised me. I expected...
I would have thought just the opposite.
Me too.
Yeah.
The value of experiments.
What do you got there?
I found the photo that shows some of the prizes. I know Mike Caveney donated the Willard book. I assume Kevin James donated the Kevin James bowling ball trick.
Yeah.
So that's a couple that you can see there.
Yep, looks nice, like also
nice
Norm
stuff.
Nielsen poster back there. At the,
right.
They had probably something.
Right. So good prizes all around.
Yeah.
I didn't win. Good. I never
no,
win.
My name wasn't called there either. So I noticed that after everyone was waiting for the grand prize, and after it was over, like everybody left the room. You know, just me. Like it's kind of like with you, and everybody's on East Coast time or somewhere.
I was asleep.
Know.
I missed this whole thing.
I was talking to someone who had come over. And they said we've been flying. We have an 8-hour time difference from you know over in Europe or wherever they were, and they just got in. It's like they were just on their last legs then too. Well, anyhow, a lot of stuff going on. Looks like we'll have a again another great convention. We're kind of looking forward to it. Thank you very much, guys, for your time. Appreciate it. Scotty out. All right. Got Craig Mitchell over here with David Kay, and talking just about the convention. You guys having fun so far?
Wonderful time.
Yes.
Yes. Enjoying themselves.
Yep.
It's great.
I wanted to have David over here since that he's joined us in so many broadcasts in the past over here then as well. Plus, I think you're the first person I've talked with so far who is actually on the cover of the magazine. I started to say Genie of Magic Magazine also over here. And also that, Craig, that you had sponsored, I thought, one of the most awesome conventions over here at IMX. You know, that was a lot of fun and very forward-thinking and a lot of interesting ideas and everything. So it was great. So you're both enjoying anything? If you see the standout or something that's different? That,
well, I think we stand in one of the standout areas. The dealer's room is fantastic. I mean, it's like a kid in a candy store. Isn't
you
that
know,
true?
In the past Magic Lives, he has reinvented the dealer room, and he did it again this year. It's completely different from the past.
Explain that.
Okay, so
for those who can't see this,
well,
obviously.
The booths are not laid out in a strict rectangular perpendicular format.
Right.
They are kind of angled. The
it's
rows
like a maze
are angled.
Almost.
It's almost like a maze.
Yeah.
But it just changes everything. And you know why has it taken 3,000 conventions of the history of magic conventions for some guy to decide, well, let's just do it this way. But Stan asks these questions, he puts these challenges to himself, and he comes through. And, you know, I think that in order, as we were talking about it, in order to keep magic conventions alive in the future as the internet starts siphoning people away from it, the conventions have to become more interesting and different.
The internet, by nature, the World Wide Web means that. It's a web. One thing leads to another. Kind of like this, you know, that it also is kind of a web. I mean, that what, you start going down one aisle, then you end up in another aisle, then it's a dead end over there at the bar or something.
End up in the dead end.
Yeah, the dead end is horrible. It took me 6 hours to get out of there last night. Like 4 a.m, I finally.
Well, it was hard to get out because it was so packed. That was another thing. I mean, usually it's Mark Mason's booth. It's like 6 or 7 deep of people. Here, every booth, you know, has been.
Well, there's a psychology about the dealer room, which a lot of the big conventions don't understand. It's about creating energy and excitement.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes when you go to the national conventions, the dealer room is, you know, you can hear crickets.
That's true. That's right. Yeah. So I know some have been disappointed, you know, with some of the national conventions, the SAM or the IBM conventions, for example. But, you know, I heard one of the dealers saying, well, why can't the other conventions be like this?
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't know either.
They could be. I don't know what. But why do you think that people come to this dealer's room and don't go to other dealers' room at other conventions? I mean, why do you think there is more buzz here than others?
I think if we knew the answer, we would all be rich.
And why is that? Well, first of all, there's 1,200 people, you know. So it's kind of like a Blackpool. I mean, the dealer's area, the auditorium is just packed with folks all the time, too, you know. Maybe just this numbers game.
Well, that's obviously a part of it. There's no question. If you'd have a national convention and 400 people show up and you have a giant dealer room with 30 dealers, you'll be lost. So, of course, if that happens, then you make smaller dealer rooms.
Put them in a garage.
No, but you can make it so that there's more energy. You can adjust the size of the room.
Energy is probably the best description. You need to get the flow of energy working.
And you had, Craig had in his, didn't you have tables in your dealer room where people were sitting and doing
tricks? They
were
sitting in and keeping that flow and the excitement going.
Yeah, so keeping people, bringing people there and keeping them in the room and creating excitement.
You probably have got two polar opposites. You obviously have the delegates who want him to do the delegates' numbers, and you obviously have the dealers who just want to make sure that the delegates stay with them. So
That's true.
Have these conflicting forces at times.
That's right.
See, people have got different agendas and different priorities, and obviously the dealers want to make sure that you can spend all of your time here. But
right.
At the same token, if there's no other program in, they're going to get bored. So you need to keep that happy balance
right.
of making sure that everyone's feeling that they're getting sufficient time in each of their areas.
Well, this has nothing to do with why conventions are having trouble, but it is an interesting question to ask about conventions, and that is because in your thing you had multiple classes simultaneously, and you know, and some people love that feel of oh my God, there's so much to do, and you know, some people go oh boo hoo, but I don't get to see it, you know.
And I experienced the exact same thing in the registration queue right now at Stan. You had to choose two out of the three events, and the person was genuinely upset because he could not
do
go.
Both.
He couldn't do all three. He could get two
yeah,
out of
okay.
the three. He wanted to go to the up close and personal one. As much as the guy behind the registration desk was saying, but this is what you chose. He was not having it because he now felt that he was missing out.
Yeah, because he felt like he paid, and so he should forget it all.
He should get his money's worth.
If you go to the buffet,
he gets his money's worth.
If you want to go to the buffet, I want one of everything.
There's a whole psychology here. Is the glass half full
yes,
or half empty?
Yes,
so
yes.
Right.
I think at the end
right.
of it, we'll all be able to write a book on the psychology.
Absolutely.
Of
because, of course, if there were 2 hours in the day where there was nothing happening, they'd complain about that too.
So
I paid my money, and there's nothing here. The dealer room is open, but there's no
key. I've been through in 10 minutes.
Right, because the dealer room is bad. Right, that's right.
But so far, everyone's having a great time.
Anyway, yeah, it's so far. It's only the first half a day, but it feels great, and everyone's here, as they all say.
You were talking about the convention changing a little bit, and about the EMC, for an example, then as well, which that's one in which you could stay home in your underwear. You know, you could be in China or any place.
Yeah.
You know, and then do that. And then it was kind of cool because you can also text back and forth, you know, with people, you know, while the speakers are on. And it's as close to a TED conference of magic of anything that I've seen so far, basically. We got you held in 20 minutes,
yep.
you know, and then you got to keep moving.
Yep. Yeah, there was we talked about this on the Magic Newswire podcast, me and Rudy. There was this girl in the back holding big signs with
yep.
the time, how much time has elapsed. Every 2 minutes, she'd pick up a sign.
That's the analog version workspace.
It was the analog version, but it was, you know, they were serious. And then when you went over, the signs got really nasty and like, come on already, get on. I mean,
really.
But you have to, because if everyone went 5 minutes over, then the whole day would be out of whack.
Now, how was your experience with EMC, speaking of that, versus other conventions where you've worked?
Well, I was just telling Craig, it was like going to camp.
The presenters had more fun than the delegates
yeah.
watching.
Well, there
were
no
delegates.
You know, I mean,
well, the delegates on the other side of the
okay.
computer screen. But I think that the main fun of EMC has to be if you get the invitation
to
be one of the presenters
yeah.
at EMC. Because I think that's a non-stop
yeah.
party.
It was so great. And people like me at the lower end of that, you know, ladder
yeah.
of success. We're like, oh my God, look who's here, look who's here. And like, we're like, oh my God.
Well, there's
something
about you too.
Well,
sure.
Listen, I mean, they invited me, so I
yeah,
someone
exactly.
thought I deserved
yeah,
to be
you
there.
Do. You did.
But it was really great, and everyone was wonderful. I got really close with Paul Daniels, and we were insulting each other all week, and you know, it was just really great. It was great, and it's an interesting. Besides the camp feel, like the little sort of like it was like a getaway for all these for all of us. Really, it was. It was like a getaway because we weren't working terribly hard, you know, and we were really enjoying the time with each other.
David, in fact, gave us an inside scoop as to what's happening at the next EMC. They're turning it into a Big Brother house, 24/7 cameras inside
yes,
Jersey,
right.
Jersey Shore reality yeah. style TV.
Hot tub and everything.
Okay, I'm too much. More than
yeah.
That's pay-per-view.
Right.
Exactly.
But
it
was
pay much.
It was great. And as always, Luis de Matos took really good care of us. Always does. Fed us well. Beautiful hotel. Precision. He has a great staff. And I think the product is phenomenal. The discs are going to be gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, we were just saying to David, I mean, Lewis deserves this. I think he reached 1,500 people attending this EMC. There should be 15,000. awesome, considering that it's a worldwide base. And
exactly.
The quality of the talent, and I think it was $80 or something, and you get the DVD set afterwards.
Which is worth twice the value, the DVDs.
It deserves the success, which is bizarre. And magicians need to support it, otherwise events such as this and
EMT, they're going to stop.
Well, they're going to stop, and then everyone will turn around, and by that stage, you'll be too late.
There have been some inventors, you know, Steve Dushek and others, for example, you know, they kind of get tired after a while that people are going to rip them off, or you know, John Cornelius. It's like, why should I do any more of this kind of stuff?
You know? Creative Magic have now moving on to their new endeavors. Wolf Magic is also now moving on to new endeavors. And slowly but surely, we can find ourselves in 5 years down the line and look back and say, well, why didn't we see it happening?
Yeah.
So magicians need to be careful. It's a very interesting stage we have at the moment.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me ask you, by the way, that for my podcast, I've got, it's called The Magic Word. My question is for you, what is your magic word?
Wow.
That's a good one.
What is my magic word?
Well, I'll do some blatant advertising. IMX.
IMX. That's good, Craig.
Yeah, my magic word. It's funny that you mentioned that. My magic word is sillymagic.com. Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow.
I wonder if it's anyone else's magic word, please send a letter, an email to magicword@sillymagic.com.
And
we'll...
$50.
Yes. Do your best. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that
when
and come back
kids.
To you.
Yeah, when you have kids, you know, you're doing shows for kids. I mean, don't you have a magic word you have for them or something?
I do have a magic word in my show.
Sure. And what is the show?
My magic word in my show is googly googly.
Googly googly.
And they
there
love the word, and it's a funny word, and it makes them laugh.
I was asking Sean Farquhar, and Sean said, easy.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah.
Isn't that a good one?
I'm just asking
everybody what their magic word is. It's a little bit different, you know.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hey, thank you guys very much.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
Good job, Scott.
Yeah, Scotty out. Well, it's about 11:30 over here on the second day of the Magic Live Convention, and I think most activities are kind of wrapping up over here. That we're at the showroom just emptied out after the United We Fall or something
divided.
Like that. Divided We Stand or something is what it was. Yes, which was about the evolution of the. Cut and restored.
Sawing in half.
Yeah, it wasn't restored. If it was cut, like you said, it would be a death. I got Scott Tokar and Cameron Ramsey over here. Hey, Scott.
Howdy, howdy.
And Cam.
How's it going, Scott?
Hello.
You recognize that voice from the sound of the past?
Oh, it hasn't been that far. It has not been that far. Hopefully everyone's enjoying the podcast coverage of this convention.
Well, let's talk about the kind of the coverage. What do you think? We all just also had gone earlier to the thing in the dark, which was kind of cool. Now, that was... I've been talking a lot on this thing. Tell us, Scott, kind of what your experience was.
I love experiential illusions. Anything that can either limit some senses or that can put me inside the illusion, the trick itself, I love. Essentially, we all went into the room with blindfolds on. They actually led us into the room. So if you've ever been or heard about these restaurants that you eat in the dark, it was kind of that feeling that you're going into a room, you have no idea where you are, you have to imagine how the seating arrangement is.
Right.
And then we had about an hour's worth of magic.
They strapped a box on your thigh.
Which was your Pandora's box. It was a wonderful magic kit that you didn't need to see in order to experience.
Right.
I've honestly said to people, I think it was 75% great. I, in all honesty, I would not miss this experience. There were some things that took a little too long, but for me, it was a great experiential.
What do you think, Cam?
I mean, we always get to see, not to sound, you know, I always get to see a magic show, so to get to see a whole new perspective of a magic show, and to imagine...
You were a magic show, so to see it.
Yeah, and to imagine being in that predicament where it'd be unfortunate not to be able to see a show, because that's what the show's geared for, right? Actual blind people.
Yeah.
So to hear that, and to follow along, if you could follow along with everything, it was a great experience.
I thought it was kind of like a magic over the radio, almost, you know, something that you can do interactive over the radio.
And there was definitely a spooky feeling also, too.
That's
not
true.
Yeah, not knowing what was going on, walking into a dark room.
So there was essentially six magic tricks in our magic box. There was a ring trick that was basically a mathematical do this many moves, this many moves.
Right.
There was a card trick, which was very interesting, using plastic cards that you could tactily feel and identify.
The front and the back, and also it had a, yeah, an image.
Shapes. It was like ESP image shapes. So they also had a medicine bottle with a coin that did a... That was by far the best trick.
Coin vanish, yeah.
A coin vanish. And then there was a bag with an object or a prediction revealed in it as well.
That was the grand finale.
The grand finale,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, we were listening to a couple of tricks. One was a key rect type routine done completely by audio. And another one was a witch hand. Kind of trick.
Right. They would drop the key out of their hands, so that way you knew they had the right hand.
This was very interesting because I had never thought of that kind of trick without a visual.
Yes.
And it worked really well.
Right.
It really
right.
worked well without having to see it.
And everyone was on their own different, you know, team or group. You know,
well, that's right.
Goblins, wizards, werewolves.
Yeah, elves, gnomes or whatever.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Right.
And that kind of, you had a team atmosphere, and you didn't know where that was going either. Which was
right.
A lot of mystery with that.
Well, then, of course, the stage show we saw was hosted by Mike Cadney. I thought was just awesome. I've had so many people coming out here saying it. That's just been a highlight.
David Charvet took on the personality, the look, the feel,
and the voice,
of Harry Blackstone Jr. This was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. If you've seen Tom Mulica do his Red Skelton, it's bringing this character from the dead back to life, and this was equally, if not better, for me. Because it was exactly like I was a kid again.
And they had the original
assistants, costuming,
and the actual buzzsaw blade itself. Yeah, the prop.
And the ending was hilarious when Mike goes to, Gabe Blackstone was in the audience for my show, and Mike just goes to her and goes, how was the view in the front for the first time?
Yeah.
And that was the end of that trick right there.
But I think not only, you know, to talk about the evolution of the sawing through illusion.
Amazing history of what P.T. Selbit and Carter
Golden and
all of these greats that and how this trick became
right.
A trick that when you think magician, that's one of the few tricks that people automatically imagine a magician doing.
Well, and as you mentioned in the encyclopedia, you know, years ago, instead of a rabbit in a hat, they would have a picture of Thurston, you know, with a sawing illusion there as being, this was what represents magic.
And then bringing up the Ricciardi buzzsaw, which has to be the best buzzsaw, the ultimate buzzsaw, the ultimate sawing ever.
But it started off with Jonathan Pendragon doing the see-through partway through, you know.
Very dramatic with the lighting in that. Sure.
Yes.
That was very dramatic with the lighting.
That's a great illusion, by the way. That really is. If you get a chance to see Jonathan Pendragon's, what does he call it? It's a...
Clearly impossible.
Carrie Pollack here.
Yeah. Carrie
Scott Tokar. I remember when I used to sleep with Scott Tokar.
Oh, great. That's going on the podcast.
But didn't we all?
I mean, it's only Monday, so that was like, what? Sunday?
He won't even talk to me now.
Cavey was a great host. Could you have had another host that could have been entertaining?
Than Mike?
And also informative?
Yeah. Well, then they had, I thought, you know, Mark Kalin and Ginger doing the Wakeling song, as they kind of brought it up and talked about that.
Can you
really
possibly
cool.
do the Wakeling better? No way.
Best. Nope. I think that was just done extremely well. And then, of course, I thought it was kind of neat showing the video in the background
of Mark Wilson, Nanny Darnell, with Greg Wilson performing as his father.
Yes.
Amazing.
Okay. Doing it live on stage, with that little locomotive, you know, kind of thing. That was very cool.
We'll catch up.
So, anyhow, I thought that was a very good show. As far as the breakout sessions, the focus group, you guys did.
Which one did you do?
I had Johnny Thompson's lecture this afternoon, but then I had Lou Serrano. Not so good. I wasn't impressed so much. You know, it was talking about a...
only honest reviews here on the Magic Newswire by Scott Wells, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, understand there's different ways to market to different markets.
I agree.
And although Lou Serrano markets to a totally different market than I do, I'm sure much of the stuff that he does for himself works great. And I did pick up some insight, a couple of great tips from Lou.
Yeah.
you know, I got, thank you, Lou, for sharing that.
Well, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
I did get to go to the close-up one. You know, I'm a close-up guy. So Michael Lamar shared a wonderful card trick that based on the wallpaper tear principle. If you remember the old gag where you tear the wallpaper, that was a great trick. But most importantly, I forget the guy's name, but who's doing the thing with the glue stick?
Richard Sanders.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good lecture.
This was a brilliant idea. The trick he ended with could easily be sold as a standalone trick.
It actually is a standalone DVD, WTF, I believe. It's a whole DVD set, and instead, he gave a whole lecture on that.
So this effect at the end, the close of this, is a totally blank deck. He takes one card out as a prediction with a black X on it, sets it aside, shows you that all the cards are blank, and says, what's your favorite card? You name it. He then turns over the X'd card, and it is the card you just named, while the rest of the deck is completely blank. That would be the ad copy. I mean, there's a few steps in there that I'm not mentioning, but
that's
that would
the effect
be the
that people remember in one sentence that they would tell. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was Jonathan Lovett doing the Bill Change from his books.
Without a thumb tip.
Yes.
It's a great version. Yeah.
Michael Amar did the thumb tip version.
Wait a minute. John Lovick or Jonathan Lovett?
That's exactly what I said. Yes. Jonathan Lovett. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
And it was a close-up show. It was great. I saw Johnny Thompson for the stage show. It was classic Johnny Thompson. Did a cigarette production.
Yeah, I didn't get to see this.
He did the cigarette production. He did his Dove production. Coin and bottle. And a memorized deck routine also.
Now, how can you forget for the day, to wrap this up, the opening session with Giovanni opening up to step out on stage and get everyone going.
Boy, he did.
In fact, there's Giovanni right now. And then we had...
just talking about you on the podcast over here.
Talking about you on the podcast. Come say hi on the podcast.
Come say hi.
Calling you Slept with Scott Tokar. That's the theme.
Scott Tokar.
We know what the title of the podcast will be
today. Yes, yes.
That was awesome.
You got it. Oh, where talent and passion collide, my good man.
That's talent and passion
So
collide.
I was just telling everybody on the podcast that you did a wonderful job opening and energizing the room.
It really did.
Got people up. Really, really theatrically getting into your...
No change is no change.
No change, no change.
No is not an option.
That's right.
No is not an option.
No just means not now, you know.
It was great. Really great, Gio.
And honestly, it was
inspirational.
Throw basketballs also.
Yeah. You know, it's something also then, Gio, to go directly from when you were doing coin tricks, you know, for Magic in the first, night and realizing this isn't working and I got to do something for the next one. I would think I got to do card tricks instead of coin tricks. I mean, to go completely, not even just out of the box. I mean, you just went out of the ballpark with, you know, this thinking, okay, well, what are they doing, I guess? You know, I guess they're going to start throwing basketballs, and they can throw them at me at this backboard, and I can have this goofy thing on my... I mean, what made you think of that?
Well, you know, the first one was the hoop hat. Where
you hold the handlebars on the thing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't wear it. I'd put it on a spectator.
Oh, a spectator hat.
Right,
okay,
I'd have it held. And play it that way.
Yeah.
And it was just out of desperation.
Well, I think one of the best things, too, and I've known this for years, is when you see the T-shirt launchers, you got to think Giovanni. I mean, he's the guy that invented all the T-shirt launchers and all the ball games I go to, and my kids are still angry that they have not yet caught one, so I need to talk to you about how to fix that problem.
They banned that in Houston. I think they knocked out one of the Rockets or something.
There's a huge insurance problem that we need to discuss. You have disappointed children in insurance problems.
Why do you think I sold that business?
No liability.
My outfits from college were from the Rocket launches at basketball games, so thank you for that.
Yes. Brilliant.
You still have some shirts, don't you?
So tell us also, let's try to figure out what else was on the show.
Okay, we had Chef
Eichen. Yep. Brilliant talk.
We start off with Sauce and Victoria doing a quick change.
Oh, the quick change. Not only did we start off with that, but we also
got
to all the inside workings of what was going on with that costume change. And
that's right.
Wow, if you wanted to find the leader in that field, that would be...
And then Levent had closed, actually, I guess, with his lecture talking about, you know, what is old is new, and to respect the past because people don't understand the...
He did a nice job of the history,
he
right?
did.
Very,
very good.
You know, I've been following
I've always had a lot of respect for him.
Levent for the last 4 or 5 weeks has been videotaping everything on those rings. And I mean, he's got... How many hours does he have now?
Like 4 DVDs of all Linking Rings right now.
4 DVDs. He said he had 65 hours in the can of all the different versions of Linking Rings. And he showed us, what, 3 different versions live.
Why?
But why?
For fuller appreciation.
He is a man of passion.
Yes.
Boy, isn't he? I told him, you cannot do that many versions of Linking Rings. And he says, no, he is not an option.
But then Mark Hornhauser was the MC. I thought did a great job. He did a little bit with a dog. It was absolutely hilarious, you know, the ventriloquist thing. And I thought the funny thing was the dog getting distracted looking at
how did he teach that dog how to talk?
The man next to
peanut butter, I think.
That has to be the funniest sight gag I have seen in 5 years.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's great.
It was very well done.
And it's only day one.
Day one.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So we're looking forward to tomorrow. I think we got a lot over here. We kind of probably need to wrap over here. That's probably
out of memory on the iPod.
Get an extra microphone.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right. Gio, Cam, Scott, thank you guys very much. I think it's a good recap of day two. We'll get together tomorrow and see what we think about that, too.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Scotty out.
Bye.